Well, good morning once again, church. I invite you again to turn in your Bibles, copy of God's Word, to 2 Corinthians. I do want to point out this morning that that if you have been here for any amount of time, you know that the preaching and teaching that we do here is called expository preaching. So we take a passage, or sometimes we just take a verse or a couple of verses, and we work through that passage, and we dig into it, and we do my best to explain it and to apply it, and we go through entire books. And so I want to say that today is going to be a little different. So today is a topical sermon. It is we're not going to be working through a passage specifically, but it will be biblical, I promise. But I do want to give credit where credit is due. And so at the same time, I want to recommend these resources. But the first one is Evangelism by Max Stiles. And the other is The Gospel and Personal Evangelism by Mark Dever. And both of these books are in the back at the bookstore, and they were extremely helpful as far as me preparing for this message, especially the evangelism book, the little red book. If you get it and you read it, you'll be like, hey, that's where he got that. So I just want to let y'all know that today's going to be a little bit different, but I do have a passage to read, not because we'll be working through it, so to speak, but it is, I think it's relevant for what we're working through. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I'll read verses 11 through 21. And once you are there, I invite you to stand in honor of reading God's holy and living word. Hear the word of the Lord. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade others. But what we are is known to God, and I hope it is known also to your conscience. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you cause to boast about us, so that you may be able to answer those who boast about outward appearance and not about what is in the heart. For if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Well, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Would you be seated as we pray? Father, once again, we are grateful for this opportunity we have just together and just to praise you, not only in song, but in our prayers, and now in your word as we study your word. I do pray that you use this time to open our eyes, to pierce our hearts through your Spirit. Help these words sink into us, conform us to be more like Christ. And I pray that you give me the ability to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, over the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at the theme of what it means to be devoted. The first week, we considered of what it means to be devoted to pursuing God, pursuing the Lord, to knowing His Word, and to obeying Him, who He is. We looked last week at how we are to be devoted to gathering together for worship. That this is to be, that we are to put a high priority on meeting here on Sundays for worship. This would be a real commitment that you and your family would prioritize your calendar and your weekly schedule to say, gathering for worship with the body of believers is a priority for us. Because we need to come together to set our mind on the things of God, to encourage one another, and to sing together, and to pray together, and to remind ourselves of how we are to live, and to get our hearts and minds refocused around the things of God. And so this week, we are looking at how we are to be devoted to sharing the gospel. We are to be devoted to sharing the gospel. Now, there are probably, with a few exceptions in this room this morning, but for most of us, we would say that, yes, we believe the gospel, we love Christ, and we care about the things of the Lord, and we affirm that all Christians should be devoted and involved in evangelism. Evangelism meaning that we are sharing the gospel. But if we are honest, if we reflect on our actual lives and our behavior, it's not the strength for most of us. Surveys over the past decades, confirm that most people who consider themselves Christians and who regularly attend church rarely share the gospel. And so there is a disconnect between what we say we believe when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to sharing the gospel, and what we actually do. Because for most of us, we rarely actually share the gospel with somebody. And so we want to be devoted to this. We want to practice this in our lives. We want to be faithful in this. But the reality is, for most of us in this room, we do not share it like we should. And so my goal today is to help us to see how we can be more faithful in this area. We're going to look at what evangelism is and how we are to react to this as a church and individually. And then my hope is that at the end of the service, at the end of the sermon, is that we are all willing to take a step of commitment together to say, God, I am weak in this area, but by your grace, I am ready to be devoted. So evangelism is a huge part of church's life, of the individual's life, of a believer's life. But I do want to start off, before we get into the actual meat of the sermon, I want to throw out a few words of caution for us, okay? The first one is we don't want to wait for some big event or some program before we share the gospel with people. This is a mistake that we often make. Whenever there's something that we want to do, or that we see that we want to, that we should be doing differently, we wait for the church to come together and organize it, and we wait for some program to come along and some event to put on the calendar. And so we must not do that when it comes to evangelism. We say, I want to go to a church that's evangelistic, but the reality of it is that you are the church. And evangelism is not dependent upon some program or some event that the leadership is to come up with. Evangelism depends on individuals. It depends on you and me deciding that we are going to be devoted to this. Another word of caution is we don't want to wait until we think that we have everything perfect, that we have the right lines to say. And so many people think that they would share the gospel more if they just had a better outline to follow, or if they had a better approach or better style, or if they thought that they could answer any questions that were brought to them that somebody might ask. But what ends up happening when we do that is we just wait and we wait and we never actually jump into sharing the gospel. We never step up to the task. And so I just want to let you know that the power is not in an outline. It is not in a method. The power comes from God. Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So the power is God working through His word, working through the gospel when we share it. So you can learn an outline, you can learn what to say, and that is helpful and that is wonderful. It's great to do that. You can even learn some good responses to questions that people actually ask. You'll find the more you share the gospel with people, the more you talk to people about God, people ask the same things. And so you don't have to know everything about everything. If you just get a few answers, study the word, you will be able to respond 95% of the time. And so we want to, it is great to learn those things. It's great to have an outline. But you don't just want to sit back and think to yourself, well, I need to learn more. I need to be able to answer more questions. I need a better method. I'll just wait for those things. You don't want to do that, because if you wait for those things, you will never end up doing it. The power is in the gospel. And so we have to be willing to share the gospel. And so one of the things that Max Stiles writes in his book that I think would be helpful for us as we consider the topic of evangelism and even these warnings of caution, he says that people often mistake their role in the church for the role of the church. And what he means by that is that it's easy for us to just to sit back and say, I think our church should be do a better job of taking care of widows. And we just sit back and just say, well, why doesn't our church do that? And that would be a mistake. That would be mistaking your role in the church for the role of the church. Now, biblically, absolutely, we are supposed to take care of the widows. And that is one of the things that we've been reinforcing with our deacons as we bring them on, as how we can better take care of our widows. But if you have a burden on your heart for a church to take care of their widows, don't wait for a program to do that. Don't wait for someone else to do that. This can be your role in the church. So too many times we wait for the role of the church and we miss our role in the church. And so if you say to yourself, you know, First Baptist should be more evangelistic, don't just wait for an organization or event to come up or with some plan. This is your role in the church. Go out there and share the gospel. And so help us be more evangelistic church. And by each of you that feels a burden for this, beginning to go out and share the gospel. And so at the end of the day, the answer is not a program. It's not a special event. The answer for us is not to let the pastor or the elders to do the work. The Bible tells us that all of God's children are to be equipped for the works of service. We are all to do the work of ministry. And so one of the things that we should be doing is sharing the gospel. And so the where we want to begin this morning is by giving a definition of what it is. What is evangelism? It is sharing the gospel, but it is more than that. So what is evangelism? Well, Stiles defines evangelism as teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade. Teaching the gospel with the aim to persuade. And so let's look at this definition in four different sections at each phrase here in turn. First, consider teaching. To do evangelism is to teach somebody else, which means that you have to use words. Sometimes we try to excuse ourselves from doing evangelism by saying, well, I'm just trying to show them Jesus through my life, through my actions. And yes, this is good. Your life should represent Jesus, and your life should be different than the world around us. But we should understand that if all you are doing is living a good life and you never open your mouth to tell people how they can be saved, you are missing the mark. You are not evangelizing. You are not sharing the gospel. Our lives should authenticate our words, and the way we live ought to give credibility to the things that we say. But part of evangelism is absolutely teaching. And to teach, we must be willing to tell people the good news that Jesus saves. It was the Puritan Richard Baxter who expressed really the urgency of the hour when he said, I preach as never to preach again, as a dying man to dying men. And that's how we ought to live. We ought to live as each day is our last. Who would you share the gospel with if you thought you didn't have another chance, if you were never going to see them, if you knew they were going to die tomorrow? Who would you share the gospel with? The second part of the definition is that we teach the gospel. And so we're not trying to teach people how to be better. We're not trying to teach them how to be more moral. We're not even teaching them that they need to go to church. We want to teach them the gospel. And the gospel means that we let people know that Christ is the Son of God. That He lived the perfect life and He died as a sacrifice for our sin. And that He was raised back to life. And that anyone who believes in His name and repents of their sins and trust in Christ and Christ alone shall be saved. To preach the gospel and teach the gospel means that we have to deal with hell and sin and judgment. Church, you cannot have good news without the bad news. You have to present the bad news. Tell them where they are. There is bad news, but the good news is that Christ has made a way that people, while they are bound for hell, can be rescued by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. They can have their sins forgiven. And so we must focus on the gospel. And so as a church, we like to equip you as much as possible. And so in the foyer area and in the back entrance area, we have gospel tracts, multiple gospel tracts for you to choose from. These are not only for you to take. They're free for you to take and to give out to others, but they are also for you to take and to study and to learn so that you can be able to understand the gospel and to present it in a clear way so that you will be able to share it with other people. So I would encourage you that if you have not yet picked up one of those tracts, to go ahead and do so today. If they run out, we will get more. But those are good for you, not only to give to others, but for yourself. And there's all kinds of ways to share the gospel. And if you have one that you've used for years and that you're comfortable with, keep on sharing. But don't wait for some perfect method or emphasis that isn't on the style. It's on just sharing the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:20, verse 20, as we read this morning, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Notice Paul tells us that we are ambassadors. An ambassador is someone who represents someone else. An ambassador is someone who has been given a message by somebody that, and they are supposed to share that message that has been given to them. That's what you are. If you are here today and you are a believer and you are a Christian, you are not a salesman. You are not, your job is not to seal the deal, so to speak. It's not your role to twist people's arms. It's not your job to figure out how to manipulate people. You're an ambassador. You share the message that was given to you. You don't add to it. You don't take away. You don't soften it. You don't change it in any way. And so maybe some of y'all are thinking right now, you know, people just don't want to hear the gospel message. But we still remember our duty is to be an ambassador. We share it anyway. We do not change the message. We cannot change the message that was given to us. We simply are called to share it. And so evangelism is teaching the gospel. Thirdly, we teach the gospel with the aim. There is a purpose. There's an intentionality. There's an aim to what we're doing. We intentionally want to build relationships with people who do not know Christ so that we can share the gospel with them. We have a purpose in it. And teaching the gospel with the purpose, with the aim to persuade. We want to persuade them. We don't want to manipulate them. We want to persuade them. We want them to believe this truth. We want them to be convicted of their sin. We want them to feel the weight of their sin and the weight of the judgment that is upon them. And so that they would really realize who they are and where they are and where they are headed. But then we want to persuade them to turn to Christ, to believe in Christ, to know that Jesus forgives sinners, to know that salvation is not about just being a decent person or a good person. It's about being forgiven. All around us, there are people who need to know that just as they are, Christ will forgive them if they turn to Him and believe in Him and believe in His message. But church, they need somebody to tell them. They need somebody to share. Faith comes from hearing. How will they know if nobody teaches them? How will they know if nobody's willing to preach to them, to share with them? Last week we looked at what it was to be devoted to coming and to church, to gathering together for worship. And this is what believers should do. Sunday after Sunday, we are devoted to gather for worship and understand and to learn and to pray together, sing together, and listen to the Word together. But we also need to understand that our neighbor who doesn't know Christ, the girl who is in your class who doesn't know Christ, the person who you work next to who doesn't know Christ, they are not here. They are not hearing this message. They are not listening to it. They are not reading their Bibles. And so we come to worship, and that is an important thing. It is a necessary thing. But that's not all there is. That's not the only thing that we are to do. We are to tell people about the gospel. We have to share the gospel with them. But here's where that disconnect comes into play. Although we believe that, and we affirm that, we want to make a difference in the cause for Christ, most of us just still stay silent. We get intimidated, we get distracted, we get fearful, we're afraid they're going to ask us a question we can't answer. One of the most important things that I've learned in my years of ministry is that it's okay to say, I don't know. But I'll do my best to find out. We assume that everybody else except for us has all the answers. But they don't know either. And so we can't be afraid. Some of us are afraid that people know us so well that when we start talking to them about the things of God and the gospel, they're just going to look at us like, who are you to tell me about this? I know who you are. We're afraid that it might cost us friendship. There are all kinds of reasons that we come up with or that we have anxieties that keep us silent. And so I want us to consider now how we can grow, we as a church, grow in this area. How can we create a culture of evangelism in our church, that we're all sharing the gospel? And so let me give you just a few thoughts. First of all, for a church to have a culture of evangelism, we must love the gospel. We must love it. If you love something, you are going to be boasting about it. You are going to be sharing everything about it. You're going to be talking about it constantly. So we have to love it. We have got to be changed by it. Our emotions have to be impacted by the reality that we were once sinners, bound for hell, but Christ, in His grace, rescued us. And so we have to love this fact, and we have to love the gospel to where we share it. Secondly, we have to be confident in the gospel. Confident in the power of the gospel. The simple truth of the good news of Christ. This is an important issue. One author writes of a British believer who came to America because he wanted to visit our churches. He wanted to hear our preaching and see what American church life looked like. And after he attending our churches, he asked his friend this question. He said, when did American churches lose their confidence in the gospel? When did they begin trusting in gimmicks and worldly methods instead of simply trusting in the gospel? So in a large degree, our churches have lost their confidence in the gospel. And instead, they have turned to entertainment. And they do it because they have lost their confidence in the gospel. They don't hear the good news and think that it is enough to change somebody's life. Brothers and sisters, as a church this morning, we need to say that we're not going to look at what the world does. We're not going to look at what this church does or what that church does. But we are willing to say that for me and my house, each one of us, we will share the gospel. Because we have confidence in the gospel. Thirdly, we have to love. We have to love. Now, this seems a little obvious, right? Of course, Pastor, this is not profound. Obviously, we're going to love. But I don't want us to miss this. And maybe I'm just talking to myself here. But sometimes the reason we don't share the gospel, sometimes the reason we don't reach out to those around us, if we're honest, it's because we really don't love the people around us. This morning we studied Jonah in Mike's class, and this fit perfectly how Jonah refused to go to be obedient to God, to witness to Nineveh, because he did not like those people. So he stole my sermon, but that's okay. I don't want us to do what God's word says out of guilt. I don't want us to be obedient with a cold heart. I want us to obey the word of God out of joy and love. And so maybe today, one of the things that we need to do is ask God to help us to grow our love for people, to increase our burden for those around us, for the lost around us. Because, I don't know if you know this, but people can be difficult. It's mind-blowing, I know. And sometimes it's hard to love those people around us. But if we don't grow in our love for others, we will not be an evangelistic church. We will not do the Great Commission the way we should unless we love people. Unless we see them as God's creatures, made in His image, and have a burden for them because we weep over the fact that they are headed to hell. So we have to love people. Fourthly, we create a culture of evangelism as we work together. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 7 through 9 says, So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. We are to work together. And so we have our children, they go down and they are taught by a teacher in Sunday school. They learn the gospel and they learn the story of the cross, and then they come up here. And they sit and they worship and they sit under the preaching of the word by another teacher, by another a source during the worship hour. Then they leave this place and they go home and they see this truth lived out in their parents, and they learn from their parents during family worship, each one playing a role in that life. And we all work together. One plants and somebody else waters, but it's God that gives the increase. God is the one that saves. We are just workers trying to work together. But we need to remember this. If it may be that the person that I'm trying to share the gospel with may work with you, and the way you live affects how that person will receive the gospel from me. Or maybe the very person you've been praying for to be saved was the person that I got to talk to at the checkout line at White's. And how I talk to them and interact with them and the way I treat them affects the way they consider Christianity. All of us work together. So the way we live matters. The way we talk matters. And the way we treat people is significant because we're all working together. We're planting seeds, watering seeds, working as fellow laborers in God's kingdom. We have to work together if we're going to have a culture or create a culture of evangelism in our church. Fifthly, we need to celebrate salvation. Salvation is a miracle. We need to get excited about it. We need to make a big deal about it when somebody is saved. We need to celebrate it. When somebody is baptized, we need to be excited and celebrate. We need to be joyful. Praise the Lord. Let it be something exciting, an exciting thing when somebody makes a profession of salvation. When we see that miracle happen, this is what we can do together as a church to create a culture of evangelism. Now I want us to consider how we can grow in this area individually. How do I grow in evangelizing? Well, let me give you three things very quickly. Number one, our hearts need to be motivated. It means that we need to get our heart right. Maybe it's just that we need to have a time of prayer, of confession. God, I could just confess to you that I have not had a burden for others. The Texas accent coming out. The burden for others. That I need to see them as lost. And Father, I confess that I have not been thinking about evangelism. We need to get our hearts right in that area. Secondly, we need to get our minds educated. This is why we study. This is why we read Scripture. This is why we come on Wednesday nights and Sunday school and sit under the preaching of the Word so that we can learn, so we can know who God is, so we can be confident in sharing the gospel and we can be confident in answering questions that people may ask you. You study Scripture. And if you're struggling with this, then I would encourage you to find somebody that is a little bit more mature in the faith, stronger in the faith, to come alongside of you and disciple you. There is no shame in this. It's actually the way it's supposed to work. We disciple one another. We encourage one another. Thirdly, and there's no getting around this, we have to have our bodies prepared. And what I mean by this is, if your heart is ready and your mind is equipped, you still have to go out there with your body. You have to go where the lost people are. You have to open your mouth and you have to share the gospel. You have to use your ears to listen, to engage in conversation. You have to go. Whether it's on a mission trip or whether it's just down the street to your neighbor, you have to go. You have to engage your heart, your mind, and your body if you're going to do the work of an evangelist. You have to do it. The Bible says that we are to be the hands and the feet of Christ, so we are to go where the people are. It's not enough just for us to sit in this room with just us. We have to leave this place. We have to enter the mission field once we leave this building, and we have to physically go and share the gospel. We have to purposely build relationships with people who do not know Christ. And then we have to get on our knees and pray for people to be saved. Ask God to bring people to us so that we can get to know them and so that we can share the gospel with them. When the time comes, we have to have the discipline. We have to discipline our heart and our mind and our body so that we will speak, that we will not cower down, but we will speak, share the gospel. That's how we have to live. Philemon 6 says, I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. In the Bible, there seems to be this marriage between prayer and evangelism. Prayer and sharing the gospel. We pray for the lost to be saved, and then we open our mouth to share the gospel with them. Over and over, the New Testament says, pray for us that the door would be open. Pray for us that we would speak the mysteries of God. Pray for us that we would do the work of an evangelist. And so we pray, but we must also share. But I really want to go on today from us listening to this, from us hearing this, to making a commitment. I don't want us to just, as a church, to say that this is just, this is something we talked about and I agree with, this is wonderful, but I want this to be something that we actually do. I want us to decide to be truly devoted to sharing the gospel. And so I want to get as practical with you in these last few minutes as I can. So if you would, if you have your bulletin with you, if you could take that out. Notice on the back of the bulletin, it looks a little different than it normally does. On the back of your bulletin, it says at the top with the heading, My Outreach Focus. And then underneath that, you have two different categories. One says, I will invite to church, and then there's seven blanks after that. And then the other says, I will share the gospel with. And there's seven blanks of that. I want you to actually take a pencil or a pen, and I want you to start filling in those blanks. You could do it now. You could do it now. Fill in the blanks. Write names in those blanks. If you can't think of seven, maybe it's just one or two, but put names that match those categories. Who will I invite to church? Who will I share the gospel with? The first one I want us to consider, who can you invite to church next Sunday? Who can you invite to church next Sunday? Next Sunday's on giving. That would be an interesting first sermon to hear. But next Sunday, not 3 weeks from now, not 3 years from now, but who can you invite to church next Sunday? Maybe there's somebody that you know that doesn't have a church home, that's new to the area. Write that person's name down. Someone you go to school with, someone you work with, someone in your community, your neighborhood, just take a few minutes and write their name down on those lines. Someone who you know that does not go to church. And then think of someone who you can share the gospel with. Maybe it's a friend of someone you know that doesn't live in this area, that doesn't live in the city or lives in a different state, but you know they're not a believer. You can't invite them to church because of where they live, but you can share the gospel with them. You can call them up. You can FaceTime them and share the gospel with them. Would you write their name down? Somebody or some names of people who you can share the gospel with. Perhaps you can't think of any names. Then I would encourage you to pray. Ask God to bring people your way. Ask God to bring people into your life, into your everyday activities that you can share the gospel with. And then pray that you would have your open eyes this very week to say that I am going to invite somebody to church. God, I need you to bring people to my life that I can build a friendship, a relationship with, so that I can invite them to church, so that I can share the gospel with them. And so what I want you to do is, once you fill this out, you don't have to, if you can't think of seven names, that's okay. But fill out as much as you can. And as you go throughout the weeks, write them in. But I want you to put this in your Bible. And I want you to pray over this often. Pray over it often. Think on this. Ask God to give you courage, give you boldness to invite to church, people to church, to share the gospel. And if people that you invite to church actually show up to church, take a note of that. Rejoice in that. Celebrate that. If somebody you share the gospel with responds and is saved, make note of that. Share that with us. Let us know. And then think of somebody else you can put down. So we want to be able to put hands and feet to this. It's not just something we say, hey, you know, I need to be better than that, and then we forget about it and go eat at Jerry's. No, let's do this. Let's share the gospel. And if they don't respond, don't be discouraged. Remember, our job is to go and to tell. We are just ambassadors. Only God can save. We, as Christians, as ambassadors, we pray and we share. We share the gospel with people. Let's pray. Father, I do pray that this sermon that we just heard is not just something that we just listen to, but I ask that you help us to not just say we agree with this or this sounds right, but help us to say we will do this. Help us to be devoted to creating a culture of evangelism within these walls, within this church, as a group, as a body of believers, but also to be individually devoted to sharing the gospel with others. Let this be something that we practice in our lives. Not only just every once in a while, or when we think about it, but help us be our lifestyle, that we are going to share the gospel with others. And I pray that through us sharing the gospel, that you open the hearts and eyes of people around us. Draw them to yourself. Change their lives. Make it to where they run to you and trust in Christ as their Lord and Savior. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.